let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing some praises to our awesome God.
Jesus sure makes your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
And God said,
"Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth."
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, And there he put the man whom he had formed.
Good morning, Adam.
Good morning. Adam?
Adam is your name. And this is morning, the dawn of a new world.
And you, who are you?
I am a messenger from God's throne in heaven.
God? Heaven?
God is the creator. By his might, all things have their existence and are sustained.
He created me?
Yes, Adam. You are beautiful, Adam, and perfect. You are created in God's own image and after his own likeness.
Oh, I'd like to see God.
You will, Adam. You may see him and talk with him as long as you continue without sin.
Sin?
Sin is the transgression of God's royal law, disobedience to that law.
You said God created me, didn't you?
Yes.
After his own likeness and image?
Yes.
Well, then, why would I even think to disobey him?
Make no mistake about it, Adam. You will be tempted. Sin will be made to appear desirable. God's adversary is wise, clever. He will attempt to make you think that God's laws are unjust, unfair.
God has an adversary, an enemy?
His name is Lucifer. At one time, he was the most beautiful of all created beings. He held the highest position of honor in God's universal kingdom.
Oh.
But pride, ambition, and the greed for even more honor got the better of him, and he rebelled against God. He is even now here, present, scheming to ally you on his side against God.
Well, I won't have anything to do with him. I won't even listen to him.
Be warned, Adam, that Lucifer is clever, diabolically clever. You can never know what form he will take in his evil attempt to cause you to sin. You cannot be sure just how his temptations will be presented to you. Be careful, Adam, and put your trust always in God, and you will be safe from Lucifer. But come, Adam, I must show you your garden home and acquaint you with your duties as ruler, with absolute dominion over all the earth and every living thing upon the earth. This is the very center of your garden home, Adam.
Oh, it's beautiful.
God created it for you, Adam. From it, as the created son of God, you will rule the earth.
Will God help me?
All the power and might of God is at your disposal, Adam. You need only ask, and it shall be given you.
How can I possibly fail with all power at my command?
You cannot fail, Adam, unless you yield to the temptations of the adversary.
God will help me overcome the adversary.
When you are tempted, just ask, and God's power will be with you, and a legion of angels will stand by your side.
But why is God so good to me?
All creation will always have that same privilege, to call on God in time of need. And now, Adam, perhaps you wish to perform your first duty as ruler of earth.
As you say.
God has created many animals and insects and creeping things. You will name them.
That'll be a pleasure.
They will parade before you, Adam. Name them according to your own pleasure.
Oh, you're a pretty little thing, furry and soft. Shall I call you furry because of your coat? No. Cat. Yes, Cat is your name. Oh, my, but you're large. Elephant. Elephant is your name. You're funny little fellows. Oh, what a face and a grin. I shall call you Monkey.
And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every creature that God had created.
You said that sin is the transgression or disobedience of God's law.
But you didn't say what God's law is.
God's law is based upon one thing, love.
Well, isn't there a stipulated law? I mean something that can be stated in exact words.
There, in the very midst of the garden, are two trees. See them?
Yes, I've noticed them, and the fruit of them is good to look at.
One is the tree of life. The other, that one, is the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Ah.
The law for you, simply stated, is this. Thou mayest eat the fruit of all trees except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Thou shalt not eat of it.
But why?
Because God loves you and wants you to be happy. Obedience brings happiness.
I see now what you mean by love. God doesn't tell his created beings to do something or not to do something merely to be dogmatic, but because he has our own welfare in mind. Oh, God does love his created beings, doesn't he? I noticed that the animals, all of them, as they paraded before me, were in twos, in pairs.
Male and female.
They seem, well, contented and happy together.
They complement and help each other. God made it thus.
Oh, God is wise.
Continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye. What you making?
Fruit smoothie. Want one?
Sure.
You're home early.
Well, I wanted to ask you a question.
Oh, must be important.
Have you ever had a prayer that wasn't answered?
Nope, not one.
You mean you got everything you asked for?
Thankfully, no.
Well, wait, I don't understand.
When I pray, I tell God what I want. I tell him about my problems, about work, about you. About everything that's on my heart. Trust me, I get very detailed, telling him exactly what I think he should do.
Then he does it?
Wait, I'm not finished. At the end of my prayer, I add one very important part. After I've laid out what I think is best for me, I add what Jesus told his disciples to include in every prayer. Right before I say amen, I say, "Thy will be done."
Thy will be done. What's that mean?
It means, my sweet daughter, that I'm perfectly willing for God to make the final decisions for me. I'm willing to let him decide whether what I just asked for will actually make my life better. I'm willing to allow him to look into my future and see if my choices will be good for me and for those I love. Then, and only then, do I say amen.
Oh, I get it. Then, even if God says no, that's an answer to your prayer.
Exactly. I figure God is a lot smarter than I am. His no is just as valuable to me as his yes.
That makes sense. By the way, great smoothie, Mom.
Thanks.
This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 4, Shorty the Cowboy. During breakfast, Dee Dee puzzled over Zach's disappearance the night before. She knew Zach wouldn't have just run off. Besides, his tracks had just vanished right in the middle of the trail, and Zach was too smart not to be able to find them again if he had chased a squirrel or other small animal. Dee Dee played with her cereal while she thought. She didn't even hear someone knocking on the cabin door. "Hello, Chris. Hello, Maria," Mrs. Adams said. "Dee Dee is just finishing her breakfast." "Everyone else is finished eating and ready to go ride horses," Maria said as she sat down at the table with Dee Dee. "Do you want to go?" "Oh, yeah, I forgot about the horse ride." Dee Dee hurriedly ate the rest of her cereal. "Come on, Zach, let's go." With his cowboy hat scrunched down on his head and his cowboy boots on, Sammy looked like a real cowboy. He already had his horse picked out. Its name was Thunder, and Sammy was brushing its shiny gray coat. "There are 4 horses left," Willie told Chris, Maria, and Dee Dee. Dee Dee climbed the corral fence to look at the horses. A pretty black and white pinto trotted around in circles. Dee Dee glanced over at Chris and Maria, who were watching the horses too. She thought Chris was eyeing the pinto. "That's okay," she thought. "Chris can have the pinto. I like the one with the white spots on its rump." Maria picked out a Palomino mare that had come over to her when she called it.
"You decided who you want to ride?"
a deep voice drawled behind them. Startled, Chris jumped up to the next pole on the fence, and Dee Dee accidentally let go and fell backward. 2 strong hands reached out and caught her.
"Whoa, miss," the camp wrangler said. "I didn't mean to startle you, kids."
"I just, didn't hear you walk up," Dee Dee stuttered. The wrangler's eyes twinkled as he laughed. He was tall with a red mustache and short red hair under his black cowboy hat.
"My name is Shorty Wilson. I'm sorry I scared you."
Maria twisted around and hooked her arms over the top rail of the corral. "Your name is Shorty?" She couldn't believe it. Shorty Wilson looked like the tallest person she'd ever seen. Even from where she was standing on the fence, she could see straight into his eyes. Shorty nodded.
"Yup," he grinned. "Sure is. Everyone calls me Shorty. You kids call me Shorty, too. None of this Mr. Wilson stuff. I know it's proper and all, but it's no fun having a nickname like Shorty if no one uses it."
After Chris, Maria, and Dee Dee introduced themselves, Shorty grabbed 3 halters and lead ropes from the barn and entered the corral. He caught the black and white pinto first and handed the lead rope to Chris.
"Tie Apache over there," he said,
pointing to a hitching post beside Willie. Next, Shorty caught Maria's Palomino.
"Tie Snowy next to Apache, Maria."
Dee Dee watched her horse nuzzle Shorty when he captured her. Jumping down from the fence, she met them at the gate.
"Angel, this is Dee Dee Adams. Dee Dee, this is Angel," Shorty introduced them.
Dee Dee ran her hand gently along the side of Angel's head down to the spot just above Angel's mouth that was the softest.
"Oh, you're so soft, Angel," Dee Dee said.
Angel nuzzled her hand as if to agree.
"It looks like you two were meant to be pals," Shorty said.
Shorty gave Dee Dee some treats to give to Angel.
"Only feed her when she's being good," Shorty said.
Then he gave Dee Dee a brush and showed her how to properly groom Angel.
Do you think Zach could ride on Angel with me?" Dee Dee asked. "He'll be really good."
Shorty looked at Zach and smiled.
"I think so. Angel won't mind as long as Zach doesn't mind."
Dee Dee sighed. "Oh, thank you." Shorty moved down the line of horses and shoebox kids to make sure everyone had done a good job of grooming their horses. Then he started with Jenny, showing her how to put the saddle blanket on her horse and then how to put the saddle on. None of the shoebox kids could put a saddle on without Shorty's help, though.
"Don't worry about being able to saddle your horses by yourselves the first time around," Shorty said. "It takes practice, especially when you're not even tall enough to see over the back of a horse," he added with a smile.
When the shoebox kids had their horses saddled and bridled, Shorty led his gray horse away from the other horses and showed them how to put their left foot in the stirrup and swing their right leg over the saddle.
"There, that's how you climb aboard," he said before swinging back down to the ground.
"I can do that," Chris said confidently.
"All right, Chris," Shorty said. "You're next. Be sure and tighten the cinch first, though."
Chris tightened Apache's cinch like he had been shown. Then he led Apache into the open and reached for the saddle horn. He slid his left foot into the stirrup.
"Watch this," he told everyone.
Chris pushed off with his right foot but didn't get very far. He tried as hard as he could to pull himself up and lift his leg over the saddle in 1 try, but finally had to drop back to the ground.
Sammy laughed. So that's how you get into the saddle, huh, Chris? Chris laughed too. I guess it's more difficult than I thought. A few minutes later, with Shorty's help, everyone was in the saddles. Shorty handed Zach to Dee Dee and then climbed aboard his own horse. Willie surprised everyone by being the best rider. He wasn't scared at all as he trotted Smokey around the corral. Before the trail ride, he reined Smokey to a stop beside his friends. I think we should pray for Jesus to protect us while we're riding, he said. Dee Dee nodded. I think that's a good idea. The rest of the shoebox kids agreed. Do you want to have prayer with us, Mr. Wilson? Shorty? Jenny asked. Shorty pulled up beside the shoebox riders. I've never prayed very much, he said solemnly. I guess I never learned how. We pray all the time, Sammy told him. It felt funny at first, but now I think we would feel more funny if we didn't pray. He looked around at his friends. Jesus is our special friend. I don't know what we would do if we didn't know him. Shorty rubbed his jaw thoughtfully. You know something? I think I see some logic in that. I'll pray, Dee Dee said. Everyone close your eyes. Dear Jesus, first of all, thank you for this great vacation in the mountains. Thank you that we could all come to Wild Horse Mountain together and have a fun time. Most of all, protect us while we're here and especially while we're riding horses. In Jesus' name, amen. You talk just like you were talking to a friend, Dee Dee, Shorty said with a puzzled look. I was talking to a friend, Dee Dee replied. Jesus is my best friend. Shorty's forehead wrinkled up and he looked very thoughtful. Chris, why don't you take the lead? Apache knows the trail to Fern Falls. Chris laid the reins on Apache's neck to turn him just like Shorty had showed them all how to do. Then he gently nudged Apache in the sides with the heels of his boots. Jenny got her horse Magic to walk behind Apache. Then Sammy fell in behind Jenny on the back of Thunder. Willie followed Sammy, and Maria made clicking noises with her tongue to get Snowy to start walking in line. Dee Dee and Shorty brought up the tail end. Shorty was quiet for several minutes. Then he said, You know, Dee Dee, I haven't prayed since I was a kid. The only time I ever heard people pray before is when they sounded as if they were talking to a God who shot bolts of lightning at people if they didn't do exactly what he wanted them to do. Dee Dee twisted around in her saddle as far as she could to see Shorty. In the shoebox, we learn that Jesus loves us more than anything. That's why he died for us. Most of all, he wants to be our friend. Mrs. Shoe, she's our teacher at the shoebox, showed us that if we make Jesus our best friend, we will want to live like him. That's easier than trying to be good because we're afraid of him. Shorty pushed his cowboy hat off his forehead. He squinted as if he were thinking hard. Dee Dee, I'll have to give what you said some thought. Then the shoebox kids soon quieted down on the trail ride to Fern Falls. Up ahead, Jenny was twisting her head around to see all the pine trees and huckleberry bushes and wildflowers along the trail. Chipmunks scurried on top of fallen logs, watched the kids for a few seconds, and then disappeared into their hiding places. We're not going to hurt you, Dee Dee said to the chipmunks. She scanned the tall mountains surrounding them and picked out the highest mountain. It stood majestically above all the other mountains as though it was the king. That is Wild Horse Mountain, she thought to herself. She patted Angel's neck. Good Angel, she whispered. While she was looking around, her eye caught a movement in the trees. Is Eagle Feather spying on us? She stared harder, but there was no other movement. Maybe it was just the wind, she thought.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 10, Adventure on Wild Horse Mountain, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio. and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.